watching on the internet right now, thank you for coming this morning to support the family and to show your respect for a very special lady, Kathy Powers. And I remember one time I went to see her when she was in the hospital, and I asked for Kathy, and they had no Kathy Powers there. And I found out her name was Viola, but she went by Kathy. And thank you for coming today. And Sandy, we love you, and our hearts go out to you. And we are going to have a Christian service today because Kathy knew the Lord, and there was no doubt about that. She loved her Savior, and she was ready to go home to be with Him. And so I want us to take a moment and pray and to ask the Lord's blessing upon this service here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we gather together, I pray that the Spirit of God would give a supernatural comfort to those that are of a heavy heart. Lord, I thank Thee that we gather together today not to sorrow as those that have no hope, but to sorrow with hope in knowing that absence from this body is presence with the Lord. And so, God, we have the hope that we will see our loved ones again in heaven one day. We will see Kathy in heaven one day because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we invite Your presence and Your blessing upon all that is done here. And may Jesus Christ be glorified in every note sung, every word spoken. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus and for His glory. Amen. Because this is a Christian service, we're going to sing. And I think we have a reason to sing because really precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And I'm going to invite Brother Joshua to come and lead us in the sweet by and by. I believe the words will be here as we sing together. Times like these, I think that it would be tragic if we did not consider what the Bible tells us about forever hereafter. Because we know that God created man in His own image, and when man was created, he was given a spirit and a soul, and they live forever. And so when this physical body expires, the spirit and the soul, they live on eternally. And the Bible speaks very clearly about this. And I believe that it is important for us to keep perspective on what God said is absolutely true. And I want to just share a few places from the Word of God with you this morning to help us take perspective. And I want to begin by saying that Kathy died at the age of 90, and she lived a long life. Towards the end, she suffered different physical infirmities. She had a hard time with her breathing and other things. And it was very difficult, I know, for Sandy to see it. And when Kathy was out with Bill recently, I know it was very difficult for them to see their mother in that situation. And here's what the Bible has to say. In Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Praise God that we know that Kathy is free from suffering and pain. No more tears. No more dying. The Bible gives us further comfort by telling us about this tabernacle, which is an earthly body in the Bible. And it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Thank God for the comfort of that promise from the Word of God. And then I would share with you this morning the words of our Savior to His troubled disciples as they were grappling with the news that Jesus would soon die. And as the Lord appeared to them, He said these words, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we rejoice in knowing today that Kathy had chosen Jesus as her only Lord and Savior, as the only way that she was going to make it to heaven. And so we gather together with the words resounding in our hearts, let not your heart be troubled, because we know the ending, and it's a good one. And I pray that each of us might take comfort this morning from the truth of the Word of God. There are a couple of songs, and I wish that I would have been able to put it together to sing them, but I found a good recording of two special songs to the family, and we're going to hear one of those right now. It's called Rejoice in the Lord. God, for the message of that song. At this time, I want you to pray for Sandy. She has some things that she wants to share, some things that her sister, who due to health concerns wasn't able to be here today but is watching us live, and she'd like to share those things with us at this time. Brother Josh, if you'd help us, and if Sandy, you would come.
A lot to my sister Kathy and I, to my nephew Evan and his wife Tara, and my brother-in-law Ed. These are Kathy's words, and we talked a lot about it, and this is what she'd like me to share with you. She says, "It's hard for me to put into a few words how much I loved my mama and what she has meant to me. She was always a caring, sacrificing, and loving mother, a strong and positive influence in my life over the years, and not mine only, but her sweetest youngest daughter, Sandy, and her precious daughter, Jenny, who has gone home to be with the Lord. Mama was much loved and cared for by her three daughters, Jenny, who spent untold hours because she wanted to, crocheting, quilting, sewing, baking, and doing all kinds of crafts with Mama. One of Jenny and Mama's favorite things to do together was going out to eat at Wendy's. They loved each other and always enjoyed spending their time together. What a huge blessing Jenny was to her mama. As for me, her daughter Kathy, I live in Minnesota, and I visited at least once a year. It was truly a precious time together for my mama and me. Mama came to Minnesota every summer for a month, sometimes longer. What a blast we all had with her. She was a great sport and up for anything. Her grandsons loved her and thought she was the greatest, which she was. She loved to go fishing. After all, Minnesota is known as Land of 10,000 Lakes. I would rush home from work and the boys from school, grab our rods and some food Grandma had prepared, and out the door we all went to the nearest lake, fishing until dusk and leaving when the bats came out. Grandma taught her grandsons Bill, Stephen, and David patience to wait for that big one, and when it got on their hooks, to make sure that the big one was not the one that got away. Grandma did fun things with her grandson Evan, who has lived all his life in Phoenix and had many wonderful occasions to spend with his grandma and share so many great memories of the times he had with her. They too had a great love for each other and spending time together. And Sandy, I told my sister Sandy many times that she and our mama was attached at the hip. And Sandy and Mama had a unique relationship. Our dad passed away when Sandy was 13. Mama gave Sandy lots of TLC. After all, she was Mama's baby girl. Her siblings spoiled her just as much. Sandy had a very lovely and close relationship with Mama, and Mama enjoyed yard sales, to which she and Sandy went to countless sales over the years to find those one-of-a-kind treasures. When Mama still lived in her apartment, Sandy would check in on Mama daily to find out if she was okay or needed anything. My sister Jenny checked daily on Mama too when she was alive. In Mama's later years and being in the nursing home, Sandy has spent more loving hours with our mama than I can even begin to count. especially the last few weeks of our mama's life. I fail to find the words to express to you, Sandy, how much comfort you gave me in knowing that you were there by Mama's side, comforting her as well, not because you felt all but obligated, but because you loved Mama and wanted to. When I tried to give you my thanks, you would always say, "That's my Mama." May God richly bless you, Sandy. Mama loved you so much, you would have to see for yourself how Mama's beautiful blue eyes would light up and sparkle when Mama saw Sandy. She never forgot who Sandy was. Mama was a master gardener. She was famous, no kidding, for her beautiful tomatoes, even to the point of getting her picture in the paper and an article asking, "How did she do it?" How did she do it, grow such beautiful and extraordinary vegetables? I always told my mama she was one of a kind, a pioneer woman. She could hunt it, kill it, skin it, fry it up in a pan, and serve it up on the table for supper. What a woman. I guess if I had to sum it all up, our mama loved the Lord, her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, especially her great-granddaughter, Jamie. They just hit it off from the very beginning. Jamie loved her great-grandma to pieces. It was mutual. Our mama truly loved life. I want to mention Pastor Chapel and how fond she was of you and enjoyed your preaching. She loved her church, Freeway Baptist, helping out with the little ones in the nursery. Mama was fond of all her brothers and sisters in Christ and enjoyed all the attention you all gave her. God bless each and every one of you. In Christ, Kathy Weiss, a daughter truly blessed by God with such a terrific mama. It's hard for me to read this. I'm sorry, I didn't do it justice as my sister would have liked it to be. But as for me, you see my tears. But they're not tears of sadness, because just like with Rick, my husband, that most of you know or knew, my mama's in glory with the Lord. It's what we all as Christians who've accepted Christ as our Savior, that's our ultimate of everything, to go home, to be in glory, to see our Savior, to see His face, and to know that we're there. And we have no more pain. We have no more sorrow. We have no sadness. And all the joy that we could ever imagine at that moment we have. And I would not want Rick or my mother or my sister Jenny to come back to this place that, thank God, is only temporary, and be here just because I miss them. It would be such an injustice. So, as I said, you see my tears, but I'm not sad because I'm mourning. I'm sad because I'm separated from them for a time. But praise God, I believe it's going to be a short time before we all, those of us that have accepted Jesus as our Savior, will be there with them. and there'll be no more sadness. The only pain I have in the passing of my family, both my sister Jenny, my husband Rick, and so much my mama, is that I can't talk to them in person anymore. That the relationship that I've had with each of them will never be the same. I can't kiss my husband again. I can't feel my mother touch my face and pat my face and say the words, "It's okay. You know Jesus loves you and He's looking out for you." That's the one constant thing I remember throughout my life, from a little girl till today, that I've heard my mother say to me over and over and over and over. So many times I couldn't even begin to tell you. The words that comforted my heart with my mother saying, "I love you. Jesus loves you. He's going to take care of you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you." Precious words that I can't begin to tell you how they touched my heart. And you know, the last 3 months that my mother lived, I spent at least 8 hours a day, every day, with my mother, feeding her, because she wouldn't eat enough on her own. And just to be there. And the last 3 days before she passed away and the Lord took her home, she hardly ate at all. On Wednesday, at lunchtime, it was amazing. She was so hungry, she ate most all of her food. And she drank so much. And she didn't have a lot of cognitive ability at the end. But there was, she would talk, but we didn't know what she said. But I pretended like I knew everything. And I would talk back to her. And I'd say, "Yes, Mom, I understand. It's all going to be okay." And God gave me so many sweet moments in the last 3 months that I couldn't begin to share them all with you. But she would look at me square in the face. She'd nod her head and she'd pat my face. And those were the sweet moments that God gave me, that I knew there was still a part of her that was there. And I'm grateful to the Lord for each and every moment He gave me, not just the last 3 months, but every moment. And one thing that's really special to me, when Mother first went to the care center, she was in a different area of the facility. And they would have people come and do karaoke songs and everything. And Mom was still at a stage where she walked with her walker. And she was had most of her mobility. And we came, Rick and I, on a lot of those occasions when the people were there doing the karaoke. And she loved to sing and she loved to dance. And so Rick would get over there and by her and he would sing with her. And she'd be, you know, snapping her fingers, kind of tapping her foot. And he'd say, "Come on, Mom, you want to dance?" And she says, "Yeah, Ricky, I want to dance." So he would get up and he'd sing and he'd twirl her around and dance with her. And she'd giggle and laugh and smile. And a lot of the other folks in that area where she was at that time were, wheelchair bound. But they would sit there and they would clap their hands and smile. And it just brought them as much joy almost as it brought her. And Rick had a ball doing it. They really loved each other. And it was just a really special thing to see the relationship that they had. I will miss her dearly. And the one thing that that I would like to say in a final thought is, I have been so richly blessed to have a family. My sister Jenny, my mother, my husband, and Kathy, who has been the dearest person that has looked after me next to my mother as much as my mother in all of my years that God has given me. She's the dearest, most precious person that God could have given me next to my mother. I love them all. They all have a very, very special place in my heart. And I'm such a blessed person, and I praise the Lord and give Him all the honor and all the glory for everything that He's given to me, most of all for dying on the cross and saving me, but for my family and the love that they've extended to me just unconditionally. It's just beyond belief, as well as my church family here and Pastor Chapel. And just one last thought. My mother felt so loved and honored by Pastor Chapel when he asked her to go and work in the nursery and be the grandma for all the young little children in the nursery. Mother loved it. She loved working with Jenny Schaefer in the nursery, and she loved the children. After all of us that she had, it was just like an extension of her own biological family. And the kids loved her, and she could quiet them and ease them. They found such comfort in her arms and her caring for them. So, we love you, Pastor Chapel. Mama thought the world of you, and she was so honored. And it brought great joy to her that you wanted her to be in the nursery. So thank you all for being here today and sharing this celebration of my homegoing of my mother. Thank you.
That the birds hush their singing, but the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing. And He talks with and the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known, and the joy we share as we tarry.
Kathy, being a gardener, it's no wonder that she wanted to have In the Garden sung at her service. I want to just take a few moments and share some thoughts with you from the Word of God that I believe Kathy would want to have shared. And before I read from the Scriptures, I do want to say that Kathy was a special lady. I can remember one day she was in John C. Lincoln Hospital, and she was struggling with pneumonia, and her favorite physician, Dr. Schwartzberg, came in. And they just bantered back and forth like they were the best old friends. And they hugged and kissed on one another. And then before Dr. Schwartzberg left, he stopped and told me how special she was to him and how that in his practice she became known as the Tomato Lady, because she always brought him fresh tomatoes from her garden. And that was something that was very special. But it seemed like even when I would go to see her in the hospital, she would ask me if I wanted a Pepsi. And I can remember I'd walk in and she'd say, "Sit down, would you like a Pepsi or something?" And I didn't know how she was going to get up and give it to me, but she sure wanted me to have one. And it seemed like she never had a Pepsi too far from her bedside. Probably even up until she went home to be with the Lord, she probably had a Pepsi sitting on the nightstand. And so there are a lot of fond things that I remember. And I'll hold in my heart the memories of her at church picnics with her puppy and sitting in the church nursery with the babies in her lap and rocking them in the glider back and forth. And so we treasure the fond memories today and thank the Lord that we had them. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, I believe that it is important for us to recognize that we have such a wonderful Savior, that He doesn't want our heart to be poisoned with the toxin of fear. And so He came to remove the stinger from death and to demystify the grave so that the fear that might be there in our natural minds about life and the life hereafter, it might be taken away. And that it might be replaced with power, love, and soundness of mind. So many people that call themselves Christians, when they face the specter of death for themselves or others, feel disempowered. But God wants us to have a spirit of power. There are those who are overwhelmed by bitterness because of the turning of events. But God said, "I want them to have not only the spirit of power, but the spirit of love." And then lastly, there are those who are shaken in their minds at the idea of death and the forever hereafter. And God said, "I'm come so that you could have soundness of mind, a sound mind in the face of these things." And so today, God's will for the believer is that when considering the subject of death, that we would have power because of the gospel of Jesus Christ to confront something that to others is foreboding and terrible. Secondly, God's will is that we would in love acknowledge that God, who is love, is sovereign. And it is His right to draw His kids to His bosom in heaven if He should choose to do so. And He loves us so much that He will offer us the opportunity to join them one day in heaven. And that should overwhelm our hearts with the love of Jesus. And then we should have soundness of mind because we know that God is sovereign and that He has said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. And in times like these, those are words that bring sincere comfort. But we can be comforted because we know that Kathy made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and was unashamed of that testimony. And so as Paul wrote concerning fear at the end of his life to his son in the faith, he said, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul had power, love, soundness of mind in the face of impending death because he knew whom he had believed. And he was fully persuaded that he was able to keep that, speaking of the soul, eternal soul and spirit of Paul, that was committed unto him against the day of Paul's homegoing. And so Paul wasn't worried about it a bit because he had entrusted his forever into nail-scarred hands. And he knew that they were well able to see him all the way to glory. And so he gave insight to young Timothy regarding that spirit of power and love and soundness of mind. It was because of the gospel. And the gospel here is called the power of God. Partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And then we find that the Bible says in Romans 1, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so the means, the power source, if you would, for our eternal salvation is the gospel. The word gospel means good news. On Saturday, I had a lady call me from Colorado, and she had been viewing sermons on the internet from Freeway Baptist Church, and she found the church number on the website, and she called, and she said, Pastor, may I ask you some questions? And I said, sure. And she said, I want to know, how could a loving God ever send people to a terrible place of suffering called hell? And I said, well, if that were the case, then the Scriptures would not be the gospel. The word gospel means good news. And the good news is we don't have to go there. And I said, the good news is that God gives an opportunity for whosoever will to receive deliverance. And He loved us so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to be the sacrifice for our sin so that we might be forgiven and have an opportunity to spend forever in heaven with God. He gave the very best that He had. Jesus loved us so much that He gave His life. And so He is a loving God, and He loved us so much that He laid down His life for us. And if there are those that refuse His offer, then God has not relegated them to hell. They have chosen to go there. She said, I've never heard it put like that before. I said, sometimes we try to assign blame to God for every evil thing that happens in our culture. And yet there is a devil, and there is a spirit of wickedness that is pervasive in the hearts of men and women in this evil day. But God is good all the time. And His heart is for us to know that our forever is secure. That's the gospel, the good news. And the good news is simply this. It first starts off with some bad news, and I found out sometimes that you don't know how good something really is until you don't have it anymore. Right? And so you take something good away from somebody, and they think that's bad, and they recall how good that was. And so I think one of the things that we need to understand is that the gospel has that aspect to it. There's a portion of it that I think we need to understand in order for us to see how wonderful that salvation is. First of all, we have to all recognize that we are sinners, that we cannot save ourselves. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I have to say that not one single person on this earth is perfect. We're not righteous. No, not one. And folks, we can eulogize someone, say wonderful things about them, but the truth is, Kathy was not a perfect woman. We're not perfect individuals. Today the world is eulogizing Nelson Mandela. But I think we could probably find some indication that he wasn't a perfect man. I'm simply saying today that we've got to come to this, because unless we do, we will never recognize our need of a Savior. The Bible goes on from there to say, in Romans chapter 3, it says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of our God is that He is holy. And let me tell you the standard of a holy God. The standard of a holy God is perfection. If it was anything less, He would not be God. He cannot accept anything less than holy. And the Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. And so, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we can't measure up to that. And God knew that, and we've got to understand that. And there are those that say, well, okay, I know I don't measure up, but I think what I'll do is I'll try to turn over a new leaf. I'll try to be kind to people and to stop doing bad things and thinking ill thoughts. And so they want to clean up their act, but the reality is, even if we could more or less clean up our act, we still have a profound problem, and that is this, that we're born with a sinful nature. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible reveals to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it's verse 21. For as in Adam, all die. So we recognize that when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden so many years ago, that God pronounced the penalty of sin and death upon every one of His descendants. And that includes every one of us in this room. So even if we could keep from sinning, we still have an inherent problem, and that is that we are sinners. Not because of what we do, but because that's what we are. I often say, if we found a cow who had his vocal cords severed and he couldn't moo, would he still be a cow? You say, well, cows are supposed to moo, but even if he didn't moo, he would still be a cow because that's what he is. And if you found a person who didn't sin, which you can't find them, they would still be a sinner because that's what we are. And so, I believe that we need to understand that there's a penalty for sin. And the Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Now, wages are something that you have earned. That's your just deserts. That's our comeuppance. Okay? And what we deserve because of our sinful condition, the Bible says, is death. That's what I deserve. That's what we all deserve. That Kathy understood that's what she deserved. And so, we recognize this, that death is separation. The Bible reveals to us in Scripture that the body without the spirit is dead. So, when my spirit and my soul separate from my body, death occurs. There is a second death spoken of in the Word of God in Revelation 20:14. The Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That is a spiritual death, which is not separation from the body. It is separation from the giver of life, that is Jesus. And that is the eternal punishment for sin. The second death. Separation from God in a place of eternal punishment. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So not only do we deserve to suffer a physical death, but then to be separated from God forever to pay the penalty for our sin. But here's the good news. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, I deserve to die, be separated from God. But Jesus said, hold on a minute, I love you too much to see that happen without you having an opportunity to be rescued from that. So I'm going to send my only Son, Jesus, to be made a sacrifice for you. So Jesus came at Christmas, God in the flesh, to be made a sacrifice, and with the shedding of His blood, He satisfied the holiness of God that was demanding our eternal punishment in hell. So Jesus said, look, I'll pay the price in my own body for all humanity, and because I'm perfect and holy, and I am God, I can do so. And so Jesus paid the price in full because He loves us. And now the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, what we have coming to us is a devil's hell. But what God said, I want to give you as a gift, is the opposite of what you deserve, and that's eternal life in heaven with me. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? Praise the Lord for it. You say, well, I would like to have that gift. Well, the Bible explains that gift. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Numerous times in the Scripture, salvation is referred to as a gift. There are a number of times in Romans chapter 5 alone where it is referred to as a free gift, free gift, free gift. You would almost have the impression that it is a free gift. And a free gift costs the recipient nothing. There are no strings attached to it, or it wouldn't be free. It doesn't come with the baptismal string or the communion string, or the good work string or the offering string. Some people have this idea that, you know, if you don't smoke, dance, drink, cuss, or chew, or carouse with them that do, if you wear your seatbelt, pay your taxes, you register to vote, you think globally and act locally, you're kind to animals and good to kids, then maybe, you know, God will consider you when you stand at the pearly gates. And the reality is this, that all of our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. We all fall short. If we miss it by a half an inch, we've missed it all the way. You see, and the reality is you cannot be more lost and totally lost. You cannot be more depraved than totally depraved. And so we're totally lost and undone without Christ. And He paid the price in full for our salvation. And He offers it to us as a free gift. Not through the church. Not through any work that you do. Through the work that Jesus accomplished for us at Calvary. And He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Anyone, that means you, that means me. One day Kathy recognized she needed a Savior. She couldn't save herself. And she humbled her heart before God and acknowledged her sinful condition. And she asked Jesus for the gift of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. And He kept His word. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Today, many of you I know, some of you I do not know. And if you have never understood the gospel and that salvation was a free gift, and you have never with your understanding by faith chosen to make it yours, to receive it, based upon the authority of the Word of God, then make today the day of your salvation. Receive that gift. You don't have to join the church to get it. You don't have to get baptized to get it. You don't have to take communion to get it. All you have to do is believe. Believe that Jesus is the only way. Even as we read earlier, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so today, if we would simply acknowledge that we're sinners and we cannot save ourselves because we are inherently sinners, and that our sin has sentenced us to the devil's hell. But Jesus said, "I love you so much, I'm not willing for you to go there. And so I'll die and take the punishment of your sin in my own body so that you might be offered the gift of forgiveness in heaven." And if you understand that heaven is paid for in full through the blood of Jesus and offered to you as a gift, and you're willing to receive that believing, we call that faith, by faith, then the Bible says, not what the preacher said, the Word of God says, "Thou shalt be saved." The word "saved" in the Bible means delivered from destruction. And it's talking about the destruction in hell. The Bible says in the Gospels, "Fear not him who is able to destroy the body, but fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And so the Lord was talking about a destruction in a place of suffering, and the word "saved" means delivered from that destruction. So you can know that you're saved and on your way to heaven through the forgiveness of sins if you're willing to receive the gift that Jesus has purchased with blood. And today I want to simply say to you that if you have never done that, in just a moment I'm going to lead in a prayer. Sometimes we call it the sinner's prayer. And I would tell you that there is no rote prayer that can save you. It is your faith that saves you. But God is not looking at what your lips speak so much as He is looking at your heart. Because the Bible says, "It is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You can say words, but if you do not believe them with all of your heart, it means nothing. And the Lord understands that. And so, if you know you're a sinner, you can't save yourself, that Jesus died for you to offer you forgiveness in heaven as a free gift. And if you're willing to receive it, then I'm going to invite you today to embrace the gift. In this spirit of Christmas time where we're thinking of giving and receiving gifts, the greatest gift that you could ever get this Christmas is the gift of forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. And so I'm going to invite you at this time, if you would, to bow your head and to close your eyes together with me. As I pray this prayer, if you believe the gospel as I have shared it with you, And if you desire in your heart of hearts to know that your sins are forgiven and that heaven is your home, I want to invite you, if you would, as I pray aloud, to pray quietly in your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. And I know that I cannot save myself. I now invite Jesus into my heart and into my life to forgive me of all of my sins so that I may spend forever in heaven with God. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I'm now trusting in you and you only to save me. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed for just a moment. Perhaps you're here and you listened to the gospel as I shared it. And today, for the first time, you understood it and you were willing to receive that gift by faith. And if you prayed that prayer with your understanding today with me for the first time, I wonder if you just nod your head so that I can rejoice with you. I'm not embarrassed. You just nod your head. Father God, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the joy of knowing that Kathy is with thee. And Lord, for knowing that if we also have accepted the same gift of salvation, that we will be united with you and her in heaven one day. And Lord, thank you for the gift of salvation. May we never get over the joy and the wonder of it all. For we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for your patience in listening to the gospel message today. We have one more song selection entitled Wings as Eagles as we listen.
Calls to every Christian, follow me to high.
Let's pray together. Lord, we are so grateful for the comfort of Scripture. Thank you for the Spirit of God, who is our comforter. And I pray, Lord, for Sandy today, for Kathy and Bill, and all of the family, the friends, that you would give a special supernatural comfort that only you can provide. Lord, I pray that this would be a reminder that you're coming again one day soon, and that we all must be ready, for we know not the day or the hour. Lord, I pray that heaven would just seem a little sweeter, and the promises of Scripture would seem a little dearer than they ever have before. We pray that you might dismiss us with your grace. We pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.